Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Hands off Yugoslavia.
Hello. I suppose I have a weird sense of humor, but I often laugh at things which really are more grotesque than funny. That certainly is the case when Mr. Clinton holds a press conference, puts on a stern face, and begins wagging his finger and talking about morality. For the past couple of weeks, the target of Clinton's finger wagging has been Yugoslavia and its president, Slobodan Milosevic. President Milosevic is an immoral man, Clinton says, because he won't agree to the White House's resident warmonger, Madeleine Albright, sending 28,000 NATO soldiers into Yugoslavia to run things there. President Milosevic believes that he is capable of running his own country without the help of a foreign occupying army. President Milosevic says that he and his fellow Serbs will fight to the death to defend their country from foreign aggression. Mr. Clinton says that is an immoral attitude, and he will bomb Yugoslavia back into the Stone Age if Milosevic doesn't let Miss Albright and Mr. Cohen and Mr. Berger and Mr. Holbrook and the rest of the glatt kosher crew in Washington send their troops in to run his country for him. What makes this situation even more grotesque is the attitude of the media people. They're all taking Mr. Clinton very seriously, not even cracking a smile when he begins lecturing Mr. Milosevic about morality. It is pretty clear that the media bosses are solidly in cahoots with the Jewish gang around Clinton in this latest war effort. So I laughed the first couple of times I saw Clinton wagging his finger and talking about morality, with all of the media commentators looking appropriately serious. But really, deliberately starting a war with another country is a serious business, even if in this case it also is grotesque. I mean, American armed forces killed Serbian women and children with missiles and so-called smart bombs, and Clinton and his media boosters tell us that we're doing it to save lives. Really, that's what those thugs are telling us. We must bomb Belgrade in order to save lives. If we don't kill these Serbs now, the Clintonistas are telling us, it'll cost a lot more lives later. We have to do it to keep Europe stable, so that we'll have a market for American products there later. The bombing is necessary to safeguard America's economy and preserve American jobs, Mr. Clinton announced on TV. Really, that inexcusable piece of filth in the White House, who is as ready to start a war as he is to drop his trousers for a female intern, and with as little thought for the consequences, has tried to justify bombing Belgrade by saying it is necessary to save American jobs. And those yahoos at the American Legion and the VFW clubs are watching that piece of filth on their television screens and nodding in agreement with him. Yep, yep, he's our commander-in-chief. He's right, by golly. We have to support our boys over there and save our economy. And that gang of Jews around Clinton are grinning up their sleeves at how easily they're getting away with it, and how easy it is to use white Americans to kill white Europeans in order to advance the Jews' schemes. My God, if there ever was a country asking to be struck dead by lightning, it's America today. Let's look at the background of this thing. Serbia has been around for a long time. Serbs were settled in the area where they are now as early as the 7th century, and they adopted Christianity toward the end of the 9th century. And for 5 centuries after that, they built their nation, a great and proud nation, bounded on the east by Bulgaria, on the south by Greece, on the west by the Adriatic Sea, and on the north by Hungary. Serbia's greatest city, Belgrade, the White City, the White Fortress is the meaning of the name in Slavic, was founded more than 2,300 years ago. Serbia, like the rest of the Balkan area, has had a turbulent history with many invasions and wars. But the Serbs are a tough and independent people, and they held their own most of the time. Then, in 1389, a great catastrophe befell Serbia. The Ottoman Turks, pushing into Europe from Asia, were met at Kosovo Polje by the Serbian army. The Serbs fought with great bravery against the Turks. One Serb nobleman, Miloš Obilić, rode alone into the Turkish camp, fought his way into the Sultan's tent, and single-handedly killed the leader of the Turks with a dagger. Despite their courage, however, the Serbs suffered a crushing defeat at Kosovo. This left the Balkans at the mercy of the Turks, and 64 years later, in 1453, Constantinople also fell to them. After more than 400 years of Turkish rule, the Serbs finally regained their freedom, at least from the Turks, in the 1860s. In the Treaty of Berlin in 1878, the Serbian situation was essentially legitimized, though not entirely to the liking of Serb patriots. Although the Turks were off their backs, the Austro-Hungarian Empire claimed rights in the area, and this claim eventually sparked the First World War. On June 28, 1914, the 525th anniversary of the Battle of Kosovo, an anniversary which the Serbs still celebrate with great fervor in memory of their national hero, Miloš Obilić, who had assassinated the Turkish Sultan on the day of the battle. On this anniversary day in 1914, the Austrian Archduke Franz Ferdinand made the mistake of visiting Sarajevo, where he and his wife were assassinated by a Serb patriot. After the First World War, the New World Order gang in Washington and London were on the winning side and had an opportunity to try some of their social experiments, one of which was to ignore centuries-old ethnic boundaries and cobble together an artificial multicultural entity which they called Yugoslavia. In Yugoslavia, everyone was supposed to ignore history and tradition and religion and other ethnic realities and pledge allegiance to the new artificial entity. Well, of course, it didn't work. Although, after the Second World War, the gang in Washington and London turned Yugoslavia over to the rule of bloodthirsty communist dictators in a vain effort to force it to work. As soon as communism collapsed, the people in the area set about trying to sort things out in their familiar way and reestablish ethnic boundaries. I suppose this is difficult for the New World Order gang to understand, at least for the Gentiles in the gang. The Jews understand racial nationalism, of course. They take it in with their mother's milk, and they understand that it is a source of their strength. But the Gentiles have been essentially deracinated. They have grown up in the multicultural morasses which our cities have become. They've been weaned on Jewish television and the destructive ideals it propagates. They think of themselves as individual citizens of the multicultural New World Order, and they can't imagine people motivated by a race-based patriotism of the sort the Serbs feel. This is one of the reasons the Clintonistas hate the Serbs. If you read the columns and editorials in the New York Times and their other publications, you'll find them literally dripping with hatred for the Serbs even years before Mr. Clinton's current war began. They regularly call the Serbs fascists, one of their favorite pejoratives. And the hatred continues today. I have the March 29th issue of their Newsweek magazine in front of me now, with two major articles attempting to justify a war against the Serbs, which at the time the magazine went to press hadn't started yet. In both articles, there are a number of references to Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic, but not once is he referred to as President Milosevic. He is called Dictator Milosevic and Strongman Milosevic, but never President Milosevic. Do you think this is just a coincidence? I don't. I think that the editors of Newsweek are trying to delegitimize Milosevic in the eyes of the American public. The New World Order gang, Jews and Gentiles alike, hate the Serbs for two reasons, and neither reason is that the Serbs treat the Albanians in Kosovo province roughly. The Clintonistas hate the Serbs because, first, the Serbs want a Serbian nation of their own again. The Serbs don't believe in multiculturalism and power sharing and all of the other liberal, feminist, Jewish claptrap so beloved by the New World Order enthusiasts. And the Clintonistas are afraid that if the Serbs can have a Serb country, then other ethnic groups elsewhere also may want to opt out of the grand multicultural design. The second reason the New World Order types hate the Serbs is that the Serbs are refusing to obey orders, refusing to recognize the supremacy of the New World Order. The Serbs believe that they can manage their own affairs without any help from the New World Order or NATO or the United Nations or Madeleine Albright. They don't want to become a batch of happy serfs on the global plantation, holding hands and singing, "We are the world," along with everyone else. They just want to be left alone. And to the Clintonistas, that is intolerable. And I should point out here that these two reasons for hating the Serbs ultimately boil down to one reason. The aim of the New World Order gang is domination. It is total control. To some of the Gentiles in the gang, this aim may be all tied up with the ideology of egalitarianism and multiculturalism and making fighter pilots out of women. But for the Jews, it is simply domination. They want to run the world, and they will attempt to destroy anyone who gets in their way. One of the essential elements in the Jewish plan for domination is multiculturalism. It is to kill everyone's sense of rootedness, everyone's sense of nationhood, except their own, of course. They control a country by ensuring that there is no single dominant ethnic group which has the potential for resisting them. That's why they're so hot for keeping the flow of third world immigrants coming into the United States, for example, so that the white majority here will become a minority within the next few years. And that's why they are hostile to the Serbs' desire to exclude non-Serbs from their living area. The Jews and the other elements of the New World Order gang hate the Serbs because the Serbs won't obey orders and won't let themselves be multiculturalized and deracinated. So the Serbs must be punished. An example must be made of them. Every country in the world must understand that it must obey orders from the United Nations, or else the smart bombs will start falling and the cruise missiles will start exploding. Of course, the Clinton gang can't explain to the American people, not even to the yahoos and lemmings drinking their beer around the television sets in the VFW clubs, that we have to kill Serbian women and children to enforce the will of the New World Order. Even the yahoos might not find that a satisfactory reason to cheer their degenerate commander-in-chief. So we're told that we're doing it for humanitarian reasons, that we're doing it to save lives and American jobs. And as I said before, God help us if that's the level we've descended to as a nation. We're overdue for divine retribution a la Sodom and Gomorrah. One thing to keep in mind when you see our brave commander-in-chief on television explaining why this new war is necessary is that he is lying just as much as when he went on television last year and told us that he had never had sex with a certain female intern in the White House. Not only does Clinton have no morality, but he also has no ideology and no national policy. He is simply telling the lies that he's ordered to tell by the kosher gang around him, by his greasy national security advisor, Sandy Berger, and that horrid little Jewish troll, Madeleine Albright. If he really believed that America is justified in dropping smart bombs on any country which mistreats its minorities, then why are we not bombing Tel Aviv instead of Belgrade? Israel, perhaps you are aware, is a country which has an official policy of using torture to extract information from Palestinian prisoners. Israel also is the foremost practitioner of ethnic cleansing in the Middle East. Israel is in an ongoing process of expropriation of Palestinian land as it continues to create new settlement after new settlement for Jews. When a Palestinian home is in the way, it is dynamited. When a Palestinian village is in the way, the Jews simply call in the bulldozers. I want to make something clear. I do not approve of rape, torture, and throat cutting as a means of settling ethnic conflicts in the Balkans, whether it is the Serbs or the Albanians or some other group committing the atrocities. I believe that ethnic cleansing can be done without atrocities. I am sure that some atrocities have occurred in Kosovo province because that's the way things always have been done in the Balkans. I'm also sure that the media bosses in America have exaggerated atrocities committed by Serbs and ignored atrocities committed against Serbs. The Jewish media bosses deal with conflict in the Balkans the same way they deal with interracial crime in America. They report what it serves their interest to report. A group of whites kill a black, and it's national headline news for weeks. A group of blacks kill a white, and no one outside the community where the killing occurred ever hears about it. But I'll say it again. I don't approve of the sort of brutality that the Serbs have been accused of inflicting on Albanians or Croats or Bosnian Muslims. If there are atrocities going on in Kosovo now, however, a substantial portion of the blame must go to the Clintonistas in Washington. When American armed forces are killing Serbs, ostensibly on behalf of Albanians, one shouldn't be surprised if the Serbs take out their anger on the Albanians. But really, it's not the conflict between Serbs and Albanians that should be our principal concern here. What we should be concerned with is America's policy of killing people who refuse to obey the New World Order gang. We should not let our armed forces be used as a private death squad by Madeleine Albright. We should be concerned about the Clinton government's policy of ignoring the sovereignty of other countries and calling in missile strikes whenever we don't like the way they're conducting their internal affairs. And the disagreement between Albanians and Serbs in Yugoslavia's Kosovo province is strictly an internal affair in the sovereign country of Yugoslavia. When we attacked Yugoslavia last week, we were committing raw, naked aggression against a sovereign country. Running around the world doing that sort of thing is not conducive to stability or to world peace, regardless of Mr. Clinton's attempts to justify it. America is clearly in the wrong in the present war against Yugoslavia. And we also should be concerned about our government's policy of hypocrisy and lying. We should not pretend to have principles when we don't. As much as some mush-brained liberals would like to believe that we're operating in accord with some sort of higher morality, where we go charging in to punish any government which mistreats some minority inside its country. It's clear that that's not the case. I've already mentioned the Jews' mistreatment of the Palestinians in Israel, but I also could mention a number of other countries. Turkey, for example, is a lot rougher on the Kurdish minority in Turkey than the Serbs are on the Albanians in Kosovo. Turkish persecution of the Kurds is going on now, and it has been going on for decades, but we've never seen the need to drop smart bombs on Istanbul and demand that the Turks let us send in troops to run their country for them. And speaking of hypocrisy and lying, let's not be taken in by the lie that when we send in so-called peacekeeping troops, their purpose is to keep the peace, safeguard democracy, and the like. It is simply to enforce the will of the New World Order. A good example of this was provided in Bosnia just last month, when the New World Order gang, supposedly in charge of peacekeeping there, simply fired the democratically elected president of the Serbian part of Bosnia, Nikola Poplasin. Albright's thugs in Bosnia expressed their unhappiness with Poplasin as soon as he was elected 6 months ago, beating Albright's candidate. The news media have been referring ever since the election to Poplasin as a fascist, and finally they decided to simply fire him. What the New World Order folks mean by democracy is a system where their candidate gets the most votes. They usually are able to arrange this through their control of the mass media and doling out bread and circuses. But when something goes wrong and their candidate doesn't win, then they shoot out the lights and grab for the money. Now, this sort of thing apparently doesn't bother the yahoos in the VFW clubs, primarily because they aren't capable of thinking beyond the cliches about supporting our boys and safeguarding freedom and standing behind our commander-in-chief that they've been taught by the media. But it does bother me, and it does bother a lot of other Americans. What we're doing to Yugoslavia is simply not an acceptable way to conduct America's relations with the rest of the world, even if we do have more cruise missiles than anyone else. And I don't say that because I'm some sort of leftist feminist opponent of the use of military force when it's needed. I'm not even opposed to military aggression when it serves America's national interest. But I am opposed to the unprincipled, lawless policy of the Clinton administration of using America's armed forces to enforce the will of the New World Order on other countries. Let's cut out the cant about supporting our boys when our boys are not being used to advance America's interests, but simply to murder people that the New World Order wants murdered. America is still militarily and economically stronger than any other country. We're still big enough to kick sand in a lot of people's faces and get away with it, at least for the time being. But we are not so big and so strong that we don't have to have a sensible national policy, and that we don't have to think about where our national interests will lie in the future. We're not so powerful that we never have to think about being morally right in our relations with other countries. In the long run, permitting ourselves to be used as the world's bully will do us at least as much damage as we are doing to Yugoslavia now. Thanks for being with me again today.